It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
There you are. Morning. You all right? Hope you are. Sincerely hope you are. Genuinely. Say that every morning. If you say it sincerely enough, it starts sounding insincere. I sincerely hope you all are. Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, rocking around for the day ahead. Come on, wakey-wakey, eggs and bakey, come on. The day's half over. Get out of bed, sleepyhead. Come on, come on. Me? Yeah, I'm all right. Yeah, fine, thanks. Yeah, all good. All good, Tar. Another day, another dollar. I am joined by my producer, Jack, because little Harry's still away. Jack, how are you this morning, good sir?
I'm doing well, Bo. How about you?
Yeah, fine, thank you. Yeah, all good. All good. You guys know who you are. The chosen few. My glorious band of brothers and sisters. Without you guys, it isn't a thing. It's now 1 minute past eight in the AM, British summertime, on Tuesday, 25th of August, in the year of our Lord, 2026. But that's quite enough faffing about, isn't it? It's really not necessary to have that much fannying around first thing in the morning. Let's just get straight into it. Let's do what this show is supposed to be, talking about the corporate lamestream media. What's in the news cycle, the British news cycle? Today, what have we got? Let's have a look. What's that cabal of evil Fleet Street editors hanging on about this morning, trying to tell us is or isn't important? Oh, I said I'd have a haircut. I obviously failed to do that, haven't I? Got to do that today. I had a busy day. It's got a really busy day today as well, actually, so... Ugh. I was more of a vain man. I'd care about it, but... I mean, it's a bit late for that, isn't it? Right, what have we got? Burnham hints at tax increases. Of course he does. Hints at. There's going to be loads of tax increases. Of course there are, because that's all leftists know. Okay. And halt the hell rides. I call them hell rides now. I don't know if that's a thing. Jack, you're young. You're actually like a really old Zoomer, right?
Yep.
So is that like an actual, because I'm not on TikTok. Have you got a TikTok?
No. Oh. It's just brain rot.
Okay. Do they actually call them hell rides? Is this something the legacy corporate lamestream media, like boomer editors, have made up? Or is that what they're actually called?
I've not heard it myself, so I think it might be something the boomers made up, just to make it sound worse.
Yeah. Hell rides. I learned over the last 24 hours, not just posting on TikTok and other places, driving dangerously, but actually deliberately getting in a police chase, apparently, part of it, some of them. The more reckless ones. Not just driving really, really fast and filming yourself doing it, weaving in and out of traffic, but deliberately goading the police to chase you and then filming it. And, of course, the trend of driving the wrong way down a road. Hell rides. Okay. The government wants to halt the social media firms from sort of promoting that. Fair enough. You know, I've said before, haven't I, loads of times, you know me on this show, you know the Lotus Eaters, you know people that are right of centre, want to have the government as small as possible. Right. Not a full libertarian, but I've got libertarian leanings. I want the government to be as small as possible, but there are limits, right? The state should step in sometimes. I think I said before, if you're trying to synthesise like a nerve agent in your shed, yeah, maybe the state should step in and prevent you from doing that. It's things like that, right? For me, this like raises to that sort of level. Yeah, don't promote driving the wrong, like goading police into a chase and then driving down the wrong way of a motorway. Yeah, that's sort of insane. That's insane. That's insane. To me, I mean, when evil statist, the libertarians come out and fall, statist! Well... All right, there's Times, the venerable Times. What have we got? Cleavage is back, apparently. Don't care. The banners on these things are more and more ridiculous. There's one here, some 68-year-old woman. The banners on it. Look on the Mail. Emotionally battered, physically scarred, but still in a bikini at 68. Maybe rethink that, love. Have a word with yourself. All right. These banners. Okay. Radical plans for Thames Water put on ice over price tag. Because there was talk, wasn't there? There's been talk over the last few weeks or even months before Burnham was in that particularly Thames Water, one of the biggest, I think it's the biggest water provider in all of Britain. There's only a handful of them for the whole of Britain. But it's not a giant place, right? A fraction the size of some of the bigger US states, for example. Anyway, Thames Water is the biggest one. And there was talk of nationalising it because it's obviously been terribly mismanaged. Almost running to the ground, really. Getting close there. Something like that, anyway. And there was talk of nationalising it because it can't be done much worse, you know. Trying to stop the fat cats at the top from just giving themselves crazy bonuses for failing. Well, that's all been shelved now. That's all been shelved. Andy Bumham, no Stern and Burnham, as you turned on that. He hasn't got the sternum for it. All right. He was in Ukraine today. A lot of the news today is very, very similar to yesterday. Very, very similar. Focusing largely or quite a bit on that crash and Andy Bumham and his guyliner, his manscara in Ukraine. Look, he's sitting there with some sort of Ukrainian army unit that was to do with culture. Someone handed him a guitar. Look, he's having a good time. Laugh it up, clown. He's having a whale of a time. Played a few bars of a Smiths song. The Smiths. Jack, do you know the Smiths?
Nope.
There you go. Johnny Marr, Morrissey, 1980s. From Manchester. Did you know, fun fact, not many people know this. Andy Burnham's from Manchester. He's from the north of England. Did you know? You don't talk about it very often, does he? Doesn't mention it very often. He kept that quiet, didn't he? He's actually more of a Scouser, actually, isn't he, than a Manc. Anyway, he's from the north. He's a Northman. Someone hands him a guitar. Of course he sits down and plays the Smiths, doesn't he? Of course. Isn't this like a really serious thing you're doing, Andy? Being Prime Minister in and of itself, and then going to a foreign country that's at war with the world's biggest nuclear power, and you're helping them build long-range missiles to attack that nuclear power. Oh, you're going to sit down, all smiles, and play a bit of the Smiths on a guitar? What are you doing? What are we doing here? What's going on again now? What is this? Shouldn't it be, I would have thought, again, if it was me, if I found myself on some sort of visit like this, anything parallel to this, it'd be extremely somber and serious. I'd try and make the optics, because they can always capture you doing a smile. You like smile for half a second and they capture it. But I'd try and make the optics really quite serious and somber. Not laughing it up playing guitar. Aren't a generation of Russians and Ukrainians getting slaughtered here? Aren't there tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of bereaved families? Okay. You can play a bit of Morrissey though, mate. Good job. Britons want Prince Harry to make up and cough up. Story is, according to the Times poll or something, that most Britons would, when Harry comes back, we would rather he pays for his own protection. So say it's like £5 million a year or something. Seems like Brewster's Millions, doesn't it? How does it cost that much? Seems like quite a high price tag. Most people would rather that they pay for it themselves, the family pay for it themselves. Isn't Harry a bit out of pocket at the moment anyway? Because he lost that court case with the Mail. Remember that? Him and Elton John and a few others, what, Liz Hurley, a few others. They lost that case and they've got to pay millions and millions and millions. There's something in the news the other day, which didn't get to on the Bo Show, Breakfast with Bo, Don't You Forget About Me, Lotus Eaters Breakfast Club, hashtag the real LBC, where it said they've got to start paying up. It's like tens and tens of millions of pounds. And like the first instalment of it, because that's what quite often happens in Britain. If you lose, if you bring a case and lose, you have to pay the other side's legal costs. And if it's a big, long case, it will be millions. Well, this is tens and tens and tens of millions. Like the first instalment of it was like 9 million or whatever, and it's due now. So Harry's a bit out of pocket. Whether he will or can pay for it himself, whether he'll get his family to pay for it, or whether they'll just all sort of... You can imagine around the table, the five or six litigants, all rich, famous people. They all sort of, as one, sort of slowly turn to Elton John. Hey, Elton, you wouldn't mind, would you? You're blatantly the richest out of us all. Like, even Prince Harry, Elton John will be way, way richer. It's like, would you mind, bro? It's only 9 mil. That's peanuts to Elton John. I don't know. Okay, we don't want to pay for Harry's protection. Close security, not condoms. A bit early for that, isn't it? Okay. Realistic Burnham hints at tax increases in budget. Does he? Of course he does. PM says he won't take risks with people's livelihoods. That's all your government does. But warns of challenging times. No talk of reducing spending significantly, no? No? No talk of reducing foreign aid. Oh no, well, foreign aid's gone up, hasn't it? It has. No talk of re-migrating people so that we don't have to pay for their social housing and NHS demands and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. None of that, no? No? Just more taxes. Oh, but it's funny, though. Sit down, play a bit of the Smiths. Why not? He's having a good time. He finally gets to be on that list of people that have been Prime Minister. Up there with Walpole and Robert Peel and the Duke of Wellington and Winston Churchill. He's happy. That's locked in now. That's safe. That's in the bank. He's going home with that, whatever happens. But he's happy. All right, the Metro. Oh, is that Joe Lycett? Oh, he's gross, isn't he? Oh, like a demon. The real demon is showing there on his face, isn't it? The real degenerate freak is showing there. PM's plea over reprehensible car vids, time to halt the hell rides. I mean, yeah, reasonable, fair enough. Yeah, I mean, as I say earlier, I want the state to step in as minimally as possible in things. But this does seem crazy. This does seem crazy. Some sort of trend on TikTok or whatever. It's not just like it's one or two, but people don't actually do it. Well, it seems like people are doing it, though. So... costing loads of lives, so yeah. All right. Apparently, there was a GoFundMe or some equivalent of GoFundMe for the two cops, and they've already raised £750,000 for it. It seems like the young men, I was going to say kids. A few of them were under 18, I think two of them were under 18 and the others were just over 18. But anyway, the young men that did it. Seems increasingly now that they were part of some sort of wider crime gang. Because in the news, it's like 11 or 12 arrests have been made in connection to it. And a lot of them, or some of them, had like a long rap sheet of crimes. Like, I think the driver was... Well, we saw it yesterday, didn't we? The driver... was going through a prosecution for assaulting a police officer and or racially abusing a police officer. I think the others, some of the others in the car also had criminal histories. And yeah, they were part of a wider, bigger group, bigger gang that were into all sorts of nefarious and criminal things. And there's been, what's that, like a dozen arrests connected to it. So, you seem like scumbags. Seems. I mean, I don't know. It's just what's emerging at the moment.
All right.
Remove footage, TikTok. TikTok and co are ordered. Yeah, 12 arrests linked to tragedy that killed police. Something's going on there, isn't there? Something's going on. Okay, the Sun. What sloppy Joe is the Sun serving up to us today? You know how us kids like them nice and sloppy. As 12 held over Smash, War on Deadly Joyride vids. Why'd they write like that in that cadence? War on Deadly Joyride vids. You don't have to talk like that. Weird. PM TikTok vow after Crash Kill 7. Right, got it. Okay. The Express, it's a good paper. You can read your Express now. Pure globalist slop, of course, The Express. Pure globalist slop. Look, pretending to be sort of patriotic or right of centre or nativist or anything like that. Look, they'll try and destroy anyone who really is. Try and ruin their career, make sure they can't work, stuff like that. Pure filth, pure globalist subversion. The Express. Revolting. As police arrest 12 after A66 horror crash, social media firms are warned, remove sick, quote, sick, danger driving footage now. Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, yeah, maybe I should just get over the sort of the libertarian thing that the state should practically never tell private individuals and private businesses what to do. But there is a limit, right? Surely there's a limit. I feel like this would be one of those. Something about Meghan, don't care about Meghan. Don't care about anything Meghan does or says ever. Get out of my face with Meghan. Ugh. Right, The Guardian. Oh. Disdain cam. Jack, disdain, cut to disdain cam. The Guardian. Oh, God, it's turning my stomach. It's so revolting, The Guardian. The stink of it. It smells like filth. It smells like curry. And B.O. and poo. The Guardian. Burnham accuses Kremlin of outrageous threats to Britain. I mean, it's not that outrageous. We are helping their enemy to kill Russian people. All right. Look, there he is with some victims of that war. I mean, said it all yesterday, didn't I really? But our deep state seems hell-bent on goading Russia into attacking us. That's what it feels like to me. There's some people in the chat and some people on comments and Twitter and stuff saying, of course there will be. Like ultra pro Ukrainian people saying things like, you know, it's called being an ally. Is it? Why are we? Why should we be? What do we get from Ukraine? If we did go to war with Russia, assuming they don't just nuke us into oblivion in 6 minutes flat, will Ukraine be sending much money and materiel to us? Doubt it. They won't be sending us any money. They embezzle all the money they get given, don't they? Where has all those billions and billions and billions gone? There's somebody in the chat the other day saying, if you think that we send crate loads of cash to Ukraine, you're out of your mind. No, we do. We do. America does. Loads of countries do. Germany. Where's it all gone? Is there any auditing of all of that? Oh, I've just seen on the chat, you don't usually look down at the chat. Input username now says, Bo blocked me on X. Oh, I didn't mean to. I know you're one of the glorious band, The Chosen Few. I do block heavily on Twitter, though. If you say something that annoys me, I'll just block. Have I really? input username now, you're part of the Gross Man, the Chosen Few. Send an email or something, I'll unblock you. Did you say something really annoying, though? I don't even usually look down at the chat, but occasionally I do. I shouldn't really, it's distracting. 99% of the time, I'm not looking at the chat. But all right, anyway, moving on. Yeah, the Kremlin, outrageous threats to Britain. They removed their ambassador to us. Oh, input username says it's okay. Good, all right. Yeah, the Russians removed their ambassador, the full-blown, proper, senior ambassador to London from Russia, was removed the other day. He was ordered home. That's not nothing. That's not just one more data point among a sea of insignificant, relatively insignificant things. That's quite a significant thing. That sort of speaks volumes. I mean, one of the things Britain and Russia have done for a long time, for ever since the Cold War, is a tit-for-tat thing. Like, we send them, and they send us loads and loads of, like, envoys and people that work in embassies and stuff, and a lot of them are just spies. It's quite as simple as that, effectively. Not like a James Bond spy that will go in and kill anyone, but just a spy, basically. Connected to the intelligence services one way or another. And they will, like, maybe banish... We do something they don't like, and they'll, like, banish five trade envoys, and we'll banish five of their trade envoys back. All that sort of thing. It's actually fully recall their ambassador. I mean, that's a big thing. That's sort of... I don't think Russia are going to attack us with, like, kinetic weapons. They might do, but I don't think they're going to. But if they were going to, you'd take your ambassador back first. Bit concerning, bit worrying. It's probably all just saber-rattling. It's probably all symbolic, almost certainly just symbolic. But nonetheless, all right, there it is. There it is. Police arrest 12 following a crash that killed 7. Okay. This is a story in the news that they're all going with to some degree. As if they're a cabal. It's almost as though they're a cabal, isn't it? It's almost as though they're all in cahoots with each other and it's one giant cabal. The corporate legacy, lamestream media. Care leavers, early deaths linked to lack of support. It's a story that young people, under 18, under 24, that go into care, quite often when they leave care, very soon after they leave care, they become an adult, and they're not allowed sort of childcare anymore. They're sent out into the real world now. You're grown up now. The state is finished supporting you, helping you. Quite quickly they die, or self-delete, whatever. Come to a sticky end one way or another, because it's just... I mean, it's dark, it's horrible and dark. But there's like a big trend of that, and a lot of the papers are... going with that story today. All right, The Telegraph. This guy, was he... He was one of the dancers on Strictly, I think, was it? I can't remember exactly, but... He's complaining the BBC didn't treat him well. Don't care. UK handed secrets to foil Putin's saboteurs. Ukraine shares its, quote, goldmine of battlefield intelligence that will train military's AI. So when I first read that this morning, I was like, okay, Ukraine are giving us something in return for once. I mean... It's only a problem because we back them up. It's only Russian saboteurs in Britain. It's only a problem because of them and their conflict that we need, in my opinion, needlessly are involved in. But it's to do with AI. We're going to use Ukrainian AI. I'm sure that'll work out well. Okay. Mandelson targeted by hoax White House texts. Again, it's that person claiming to be Susie Wiles. Apparently they contacted... The story doesn't say Mandy was particularly duped by them, but he was contacted by this person, this hoaxer, back when he was actually the ambassador to the US at some point. On the Mandy front, interestingly, there was a story over the weekend... We covered it briefly on the State of Politics. State of Politics. My other channel with Nate, Mr. H. Reviews. And it was a story. It wasn't like concrete information. He was saying that, you know, it's like sources say there's rumors that kind of story. That the prosecution, the CPS case against Mandelson for actual crimes, you know, taking liberties in office, may fall apart because the CPS, the police, well, more the CPS, saying that too much of the Mandelson files were redacted and the FBI or the DOJ won't give them, the CPS, the full unredacted files. So it's difficult for them to bring a case. Total stitch-up, seems to me. Total stitch-up. Okay. TikTok promotes thrilling police chase videos to young people. Terrible. Why? Why would you? It's mad. It's like they're trying to deliberately subvert our society. Make it more dangerous very deliberately, very proactively. Here's a story. Michael Deacon says, Abbott, Diane Abbott, possible clinical retard, Diane Abbott, should pay us reparations. Based. Okay, the eye paper. This is a story about Angela Rayner. Angela the Fridge Rayner, Big Bird. Council house boost. Rayner reveals plan for 70,000 homes to tackle crisis. Yeah, all our invaders need homes, don't they? The sea of invading barbarians that they're deliberately letting in day after day need homes, don't they? Otherwise they'll just build shanty towns. Already got like tent cities in some of the big cities. They'll just start cobbling together actual shanty towns on the outskirts. Like India or whatever. That wouldn't look very nice. So we have to build over our green belt. Just stop calling it green belt, it's the grey belt now. Coruscant, Britain. Just make the whole of Britain one sprawling suburbia so that our invaders can have homes. Housing Secretary Angela the Fridge Rayner Big Bird says a government will create a boom in social and council housing to cut number of families in temporary accommodation. Why are there so many families? Is it the millions of people you've allowed to invade us? Those families. Not just those families, there's also Brits, aren't there? Native white Brits who need houses. We've had a housing crisis ever since the war. Again, on State of Politics. Over the last few Sundays, I've been doing a series all about post-war Britain. A 10, 15, 20, 25-minute video each week about each Prime Minister since the end of the war. And every single one, there's an element in there of a housing crisis. Of course, lots of houses were blown up during the war, weren't they? During the war. I've got my Uncle Albert beard. Ever since Attlee to now, there's been a housing crisis. So if you let hundreds of thousands, millions more people in, yeah, it's quite a serious housing crisis, yeah. £10 billion handed to councils and housing associations to build 70,000 new homes across England. 60% of them must be social housing. Andrew the Fridge Rayner, Big Bird, plans to build on Greenbelt. She reclassifies as a grey belt. Brilliant. Great. Relatively small amount of open green belt we've got left. Just build over that so Bombalians can have a roof over their head. Current cost of temporary accommodation is ruinous for councils. Yeah, letting millions of more people into a small island that's already got very, very high population density is ruinous all round, isn't it? Not just for councils, or the NHS, for schools, for roads, for everything, for crime rates, particularly sex crime. These people per capita, it's not that native white people don't also commit sex crime, they do. I understand that, Politics Joe, I understand that, Navarra Media. Per capita, it's through the roof. Got to have houses though, they've all got to be able to access a dentist though. Boost for builders, although no help yet for UK's first-time buyers. Yeah, they don't care about first-time buyers. Right. The Financial Times, the FT. Look, it's all fun and games. People, do you really think Putin, if he's not stopped in the Donbass, is going to just keep going? Do you really think that? Am I the naive one for thinking that's not likely? Or are you the naive one for buying into a lie, an old, a reheated Cold War lie? Isn't the Donbass largely Russian-speaking? Ethnically Russian? Isn't it? Is it not? Okay. Missile lock, burn them on Kiev mission. Yes, great. Yeah, laugh it up. Trump pledges to bump Canadian car tariffs of 50% after trade talks collapse. President fumes at neighbour. Ottawa determined to fight back at Mark Carney. Auto industry warns of pain. So here's actually a reasonably large story. Today about the trade war and tariff war between the US and Canada. Oh, Canada. It's heating up. They're trying to do a deal at the moment, or have been for the last few days. I mean, it's been rumbling on for the whole time. But and they've left the table now. Both sides have walked away. Both sides accusing the other side of making unreasonable last-minute demands. The Canadians coming out and saying the Trump administration is just being unreasonable. They're trying to destroy our auto industry. Trump saying Canada has just been taking the mickey out of the United States for years and years and years. It's time we started treating them normally rather than living off our buck. The Canadians are eating our lunch, all that stuff. He threatened them with a 50% tariff. Will it get sorted out before it comes to that? Trump's done that a bunch of times, hasn't he? He's threatened tariffs. And then the last minute sort of has made a deal. It's part of the art of the deal, is it? Like Mark Carney. He used to be governor of the Bank of England, remember that? Saying he's going to stand strong against Mr. Trump. I mean, both sides do need each other. Right, trade is a two-way thing, isn't it? It's a two-way thing. The United States is much more rich. Its industrial base is much, much bigger. Saw some clips of of Canadian ministers, senior people, saying, we, Canada, are an economic powerhouse. Not really. Saying things like, I'd like to see the United States continue to function without our resources, without our oil. No, that'd be fine. The United States is a net exporter of oil. Its fracking industry, just in the last 10 years, has exploded. If it came to it, if it came to a real, real, real crunch, the United States doesn't need Canadian oil. Doesn't need to buy Canadian cars. Doesn't need to. Can you say the other way around? Would Canada's economy be terribly hurt if it couldn't sell things to the United States? It would hurt Canada more, but anyway. It's obvious. I'm stating the obvious here. All right, the Mail. Ugh, globalist slop again. They're going with a story of concerns grow as prescriptions surge 21% in 5 years. Record 1 in 7 on antidepressants as pill use rockets. That's concerning, isn't it? That's worrying. 1 in 7 people in England were prescribed antidepressants last year, worrying figures show. Yeah, it's worrying. Feels like they're handing them out like candy. You just go to the doctor and you say, I feel a bit depressed, I feel a bit anxious. And they're like, oh, do you? Well, here's a prescription for antidepressants then. Is that the best way to deal with things? Haven't we seen this sort of thing in other countries as well, the United States and a few other countries, where doctors seem to... I mean, in America, it's a bit of an OxyContin thing, wasn't it? Oh, there's something wrong, anything wrong, you're in some sort of pain in some way. OxyContin! Straight away, just that. Or my kid's a little bit unruly. Oh, put them on Ritalin or whatever. What is it? There's all sorts of drugs, aren't they? They give kids, to, especially young boys, to make them sit down and calm down and be quiet. Like loads and loads of people getting diagnosed with autism or Asperger's, various types of that, or just an anxiety disorder of some type. Like millions and millions and millions of people. feels to me like it's being overdiagnosed, but I'm no doctor. I'm no doctor, so shouldn't really. I haven't got, you know. One in seven. One in seven. Seems crazy. There was a vigil for the joyriders, the five joyriders that killed those two cops and themselves. And it was just like, yeah, well, you can see for yourself the image. I mean, I don't know what to say. It's like a bunch of douchebags. The Mirror. A mouthpiece for the Labour Party, The Mirror. What have we got here? Exclusive maternity crisis. This is horrible. Mums taught to give birth in cars after the shock decision to shut busy hospital unit. How did it get to this? And it's saying that this particular hospital, is it in Devon? In Devon. Closing its maternity unit and just giving women advice that if you do find yourself just giving birth in a car on a motorway, on the hard shoulder of a motorway, this is what you should do. This is how you should behave. This is how you should... Yeah, good question, The Mirror, to be honest. How did it get to this? How did it get to this? How did it get to this, The Mirror? Why is the NHS so crazily overstretched that it's broken? Is it because we've imported between 10 and 20 million new people since 1997? The NHS just simply, obviously can't deal with that. Is that the reason? If anyone talks about that, if anyone talks about re-migrating, deporting, if millions must go, millions must go. If anyone talks about that, then The Mirror will try and destroy them. The Mirror will try and character assassinate them. But we're supposed to believe that you care about how did it get to. We know how it got to this. We know. You're going to pretend you don't know. Oh, how did it get to this? Nobody knows. The strange death of the NHS. Okay. The Star. Graham Dott. Anyone remember Graham Dott, the snooker player? He was world champion. I think he was world champion. Oh, yeah, he was. Yeah. Ex-world champ, guilty. Graham Dott. Snooker legend, a child sex abuser. Dott's victim, primary school boy and girl. He's successfully convicted. It's not just like allegations or that he's on trial for. No, he's had his trial and was found guilty. A primary school boy and girl. Graham Dott. Graham Dott's a wrong'un. There you go. Who knew? All right, they're the front pages. They're the increasingly disgusting and absurd and infuriating front pages from the BBC, from the legacy corporate lamestream media today. All right. Should we check in with the price of crude? We often check in with the price of crude. There you go. Down a little bit. Holding pretty steady, considering everything that's going on in the Persian Gulf. Holding pretty steady, but down a touch from yesterday. About the same. $91 for a barrel of Brent. Just over, shade over $84 for a barrel of West Texas. It's remarkable that it's as low as it is, and it's as steady as it is. Still, as I say most mornings, doesn't really translate into what we pay at the pump. Let's have a look at our poll. Jack, if you can bring up the poll for me. So we can see, what did we ask you guys this morning? We'll have to have a look. Here we go. Oh, we asked you, who is the biggest embarrassment to the British people? And your options were Keir Starmer, Andy Burnham, Rishi Sunak and Liz Truss. Who's like just more embarrassing? Okay, well... Queer Stalin, the Stalin bot 2.0, with his 15 patches to make it function even remotely normally, wins with 56%. 56% of you say Keir Starmer was the most embarrassing. Andy Burnham already, only a few weeks in, 24%. Rishi Sunak, 18%. And Liz Truss, 2%. I mean, Liz Truss was a bit of an anomaly, wasn't she, really? A historical anomaly. She will be on the list of prime ministers for all time, but... A true sort of asterisk by her, isn't there, really? Some sort of asterisk. barely prime minister. Well, not barely. She was, of course, legally, but Rishi Sunak only 18%. I was terribly embarrassed by Rishi. It was a real slap in the face. A Hindu man in number 10 celebrating Diwali or whatever. Ugh. Ugh, what is that? That's like a humiliation ritual level thing, isn't it? Anyway, all right, Keir Starmer won that one. All right, let's have a look. What else have we got? Oh, it's already 22. That went quick. Felt like about 10 minutes there. That was 40 minutes, really? All right, let's have a look at some of the other stories before we do on this day in history. I can't be too late today. I've got to record an epochs, continuing my series on Constantine the Great. This week, recording all about how he conquers the East and becomes the main, well, the sole emperor of the entire Roman world. It's good stuff. Find the paywall. Consider signing up to LotusCeasers.com, the website, for as little as £5 a month. Bronze tier membership. Thousands of hours of content behind the paywall there. Not just my show. We add up stuff Josh Firm did. Stelios. Aras. Dan Tubb. I'm sure it will be in at least 1,000 hours. Mine alone is knocking 300 odd episodes. An hour and a half a piece. Gotta be 500 odd hours of just me. All right. Lockerbie bombing trial postponed days before it was due to start. This is interesting to me. Been fascinated by the Lockerbie bombing. Oh, it was one of those things. For some reason, like morbid really. Fascinated by Chernobyl. Right, things like that. Yeah, so this guy. The state of that. Apparently he actually built the bomb that blew up Pan Am 103, killing 270 people, the biggest terrorist event on British soil of all time, in 1988. A plane full of largely Americans. It was like a 40 or 50 odd Brits, and the rest were all Americans. It was flying to America. It was flying up over Scotland, up over the sort of Iceland, Greenland way, and down to the east coast of America. And Libyan intelligence services blew it up. It's a whole big story about why they did that, the back and forth with the United States and Libya and Gaddafi and da 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 da. Can't get into it here. Haven't got 40 minutes to explain it, really, but the Libyans blew up this airplane and it fell out of the sky over a small Scottish village called Lockerbie. Killed some people in Lockerbie as well, landed on them. Imagine that, you're just sitting at home one evening watching TV. That falls out of the sky on you. Apparently this guy built the bomb. What's his name? Abu Aguila Muhammad Kir al-Marimi. Alright. Remember we got this guy. Al-Magri. He was convicted, the only person ever to have been convicted for it. Fully convicted, sort of planning it. And was put in prison. And then the Scottish authorities, really Gordon Brown, ultimately let him out. Think I'm making that up? No. They let him go. Gordon Brown, texture like sun, just let him go. He said he's got cancer. Well, he did have cancer, but he said, I've got cancer, and on like on a humanitarian basis, you should let me go back and live my last few days in Libya. Gordon Brown was like, yeah, all right then. He did actually die of cancer relatively soon after that, but not straight away. Oh, did he return to a hero's welcome in Tripoli? Yeah. Anyway, this guy is now on trial for it as well. This trial was meant to begin in America, in the United States, in Washington, D.C., I believe. It was meant to start tomorrow, but it's been postponed because new evidence, nearly 40 years later, 37 years later, new evidence has emerged. Has it? It's so messed up, the Lockerbie story. Anyway, all right. The Lockerbie saga. Everything about it is terrible and gross and horrible. Hate it. All right. What else? Inside the Asylum Centre, quote, holiday camp in Essex. A gym, football pitch, snack bar, and 17 minibuses to ferry migrants into towns. Leader of Essex County Council was given access to Weatherfield, former RAF base. This is what he found. And he says it was like a holiday camp. They've got access to gyms and football pitches and a doctor at all times, or more than one doctor, and just loads and loads of amenities and things. Just gibs. Loads and loads and loads of gibs. For our invaders, they're invaders. I'm not going to call them refugees. I'm not going to call them even economic migrants. They are chancers. They are young men who are trying to get things for free from a soft touch state. That's simply all they are. They're invaders. Should come to an end. Deport all these people. Just clear them out. Just clear them out. Just send them back to their countries of origins. Their shitholes of origin. I'm not supposed to swear, am I, on the breakfast show? Apologies for that. Apologies. If any kiddywinks in the room. Sorry, Mum and Dad. Sorry. I forget myself sometimes. It's just a bit more than infuriating, though, isn't it? That we're paying for our invaders. Mad. Barely a precedent in all of history. Barely a precedent in all of history. Look, here's the vigil for those crazy hell riders that killed those two cops and themselves. All right. Okay. All right. I mean, you're allowed to mourn your dead, but not really in particular good taste, is it? Whatever, whatever. All right, let's do On This Day in History, shall we? I like doing that bit. You guys seem to like me doing that bit. On this day in history, the 25th of August, down through the centuries, what happened of note? Let's have a wee look-see. Okay, on the 25th of August in the year 1609, Galileo Galilei demonstrates his first telescope to Venetian lawmakers, including the Doge, which is the ruler, of Venice, Leonardo Donato. The Doge coin of Venice. Yeah, Galileo Galilei, fascinating life. I've talked about him before, written an article about him, yeah. Wasn't the first person ever to sort of grind lenses and make a telescope, but it's actually far from the first person ever to do it. But he's famous for doing it and did it very, very well. For example, he was the first person, we think, almost certainly to have seen the moons of Jupiter. He called them the Medici planets, didn't he? He was under the patronage of the Medici in Florence. The Medici stars, sorry, he called them. The Medici stars. And it shows, doesn't it? If there's other bodies orbiting another planet, then the Earth isn't necessarily the centre of all things. All things. Everything in the firmament. Everything revolves around the central thing, which is the Earth. But I can see with my own eyeballs that that's not the case. At the very least, there's other things orbiting Jupiter. So do we have to rethink our sort of model of the cosmos? Yeah, you do. Yeah. Now, Galileo... Rome didn't particularly like Galileo saying those sorts of things. Anyway, that's a long story. They stopped him from saying it. They threatened him with torture and put him under house arrest for the rest of his life for noticing reality. Okay, on this day in 1619, slavery begins in mainland British colonies of North America when the first known African captives, approximately 20, land at Point Comfort, Virginia before being sold or traded into servitude. That's a shame. Terrible. Never on this website, and websites like it, never really talk about On This Day in History, the abolitionist movement did XYZ, achieved XYZ. Very rarely if ever do that. On this day in 1718, hundreds of French colonists arrive in Louisiana and found New Orleans. New Orleans. Yeah, interesting. Quite like to visit New Orleans. Why? Would they? Would they? Okay, on this day in 1768, Captain James Cook departs from Plymouth, England, bound for the Pacific Ocean on his first voyage aboard the Endeavour. Lots of different ships over the centuries have been called the Endeavour. On my own history theme show, which is called Bodade's Epochs, which is on the Lotus Eaters website, lotuseaters.com, behind the paywall there, which you would have to sign up to, maybe consider it for as little as £5 a month bonus to your membership, I've got long-form content all about the life and career and adventures of James Cook, who's in conversation with Luca Johnson. That Luca Johnson, he's really good. He knows his stuff. He knows his onions, old Luca. Young Luca. And we had such a long conversation. I think we made it 3 or maybe even 4 parts. A few hours, 3, 4, 5 hours of us talking about James Cook and everything he did and saw. Fascinating life. Fascinating life. Came to a sticky end as well, didn't he? Okay, on this day in 1894, Japanese scientist Shibasaburo Kitasato, say that 10 times fast, discovers the infectious agent of the bubonic plague and publishes his findings in The Lancet. Good, that's good, excellent. Plague bacillus or whatever it's called, I can't remember the proper thing. But good. It's just an infection, isn't it? I think it's just like a... That's all the plague gets. I say all. It's a terrible one, of course. It's just like a viral infection, I think, isn't it? The plague. So like today, certainly if you get it early enough, you can just have antibiotics and you'll get better. Am I going to start talking about... Am I going to spend the next 10 minutes talking about the Black Death? 1347, 48. No, I've done that a number of times, haven't I? Okay. I won't do that. All right, on this day, 1944, the German commander Dietrich von Koltitz surrenders Paris to the Free French forces of Philippe Leclerc, disobeying Adolf Hitler's orders to destroy the city. President of the Provisional Government of the French Republic, Charles de Gaulle, gives a famous speech at the Hôtel de Ville. There's a picture of it. The Arc de Triomphe. Yeah, the liberation of Paris. Fascinating stuff. Again, so much that could be said about that. So much that could be said just about Charles de Gaulle, really. I might do a life of de Gaulle at some point on Epochs. I think I will. And it's one of those people, almost like in a historic novel, where they pick someone that's born and dies just at the right time to take place, to take part in loads of events, all the great events for like a generation or more, like Richard Sharp. In the Sharp novels, place him at a really specific point in time and just have him present at loads and loads of interesting things. Like Charles de Gaulle's one of those people in real life that sort of did that. I don't know. Fascinating life. All right. Liberation of Paris, 1944. Okay. On this day in 1990, UN Security Council authorises military action against Iraq for invading Kuwait. So before I have an eye as well, the first Iraq War, I'm fascinated by both Iraq Wars, but Iraq Gulf War One. Operation Desert Shield and then Operation Desert Storm. I found fascinating. It was one of the first things when I was like 10, 11. I was like just about old enough to be paying attention and remember it to this day, you know. There were things slightly earlier in the 80s. Like I remember the Berlin Wall coming down, but I feel like even though it was only a couple of years earlier, a year earlier, I didn't really understand exactly. I remember watching it on TV and stuff. But for Gulf War One. Sort of was paying attention. If I remember like asking my dad and other adults, what's that though? Why is that happening? Why is that? And they explained it to me as it played out over a few weeks. Why is that though? Who are they? Why are they saying that? And so ever since then, been fascinated by it. It's a relatively small thing in the scheme of human conflict. Stormy Norman Schwarzkopf. Anyone remember Stormy Norman? Yeah, Saddam invades Kuwait for the money, really. He bankrupted himself fighting Iran for 8 years, or whatever it was, longer. Invaded Kuwait, also as like vengeance as well. An old George Bush Sr., Poppy. That's what the Bush family called George Bush Sr. Like Pop, Father Pop, Poppy. George Bush Sr. said this aggression will not stand. We're going to put together a coalition of the willing. We don't want Saddam invading Saudi Arabia. We can't possibly have that. At all costs, that must be stopped. Operation Desert Shield. Really, we need to kick Saddam out of Kuwait. Desert Storm. It was all over very, very quickly. Like 100 hours, was it? One of those examples where the air campaign largely got it done. Like in Afghanistan in 2001. There were boots on the ground, of course. But the air campaign largely got it done. Okay, all right. Could bang on about Gulf War One for ages. Let's see, what's this last one here? On this day, 1991, Linux was born when Linus Torvalds sends an email announcing his project to create a new computer operating system. I'm such a boomer when it comes to tech things. Don't know much about that, and I'm not that interested. I am sort of a little bit interested in the history of technology, but I don't care about links. I can't code. I've got no intention of ever learning to code. For some people, that's sort of fascinating, and they know all about it, and they can bang on about Linux for ages, but I'm not one of those people, I'm afraid. All right. Let's have a look at our Rumble Rants and Super Chats. We do our Rumble Rants first on this show, don't we? We know which side our bread's buttered on. There's no reason to. It's completely arbitrary. I've just decided we do Rumble Rants first. Is global church history going to be in at number one? Yes. Reigning, defending, and still champion of the Rumble Rants on the Bo Show is global church history. That's his real name. He was christened global church history. Of course he wasn't. I'm joking. All right. You say, he always gives us two factoids, doesn't he? First one here, you say, today in 325 AD, the First Council of Nicaea publishes its creed, ending its first phase. It goes on to write canons and define other doctrines. Yeah. Oh, the First Council. You've hit something that, again, I could happily sit here and talk for a couple of hours about it. In fact, where I'm doing my current series, the current series on Epochs, this is mirroring to me, so anyway, my current series on Epochs talk about Constantine. I'm going to talk all about the military side of it, the political and military side of it. I'm going to do all of that up to the end of Constantine's life. But then at the end, after that, I will do at least one episode, maybe two, talking about everything to do with religion in the age of Constantine. Because I'm largely reading from the account of Edward Gibbon's seminal Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire. And in that, that's what Gibbon does. After he talks about Constantine's military campaigns, he then goes on to do a couple of chapters. They're actually very, very, very good. All about religion, paganism and Christianity. And it's fascinating stuff. If you're interested in the early church, I mean, historians talk about late antiquity and early Christianity. It's all anyway, the First Council of Nicaea is unbelievably pivotal. Unbelievably pivotal. As global church history says that there, it publishes the Nicene Creed about the Holy Trinity and everything. And also writes canon and defines other doctrines. So, yeah, they sat down. Basically, the church was in a bit of disarray in the early 4th century. Different bishops from around the Mediterranean, whether it's in Alexandria or Antioch or Rome or wherever, they're all running around with different ideas of what God is, what Jesus was, when Christmas should be, when Easter should be, all different ideas, and they're just causing schisms and problems all over the shop. Constantine says, wait, pump the brakes here, guys. Let's get together, we'll have a council, an ecumenical council at Nicaea. That's a place, Nicaea. And we'll decide. And if you can't decide, I'll decide. Just get together. What is or isn't in the Bible? What is or isn't canon? And everything else, loads of other things. Like the nature of the Holy Trinity. You guys decide. And I'll give you a while, months or whatever. And if you can't decide, I'll be the final arbiter. I'll decide then, if you really can't. Is that not pivotal? Is that not of interest if you're a Christian? Fascinating. Fascinating stuff. Anyway, on Epochs, I'll talk all about it in a few weeks. I find it fascinating. Okay, and the other factoid we've got here from Global Church History, you say, in 1515, Havana, and then you put brackets, ooh la la, was founded. I don't know what you mean by ooh la la. Am I missing something? Anyway, in 1515, Havana was founded, obviously in Cuba. Yeah, by one of the early, very early, of course, Spanish conquistadors. That island is very, it was very, very swampy, malaria-ridden, mosquitoes. Not a great place. It's just a trading post, basically, for the Spanish to go on to the New World. Okay, there you go. It's interesting. Havana was founded on this day. Okay, what else have we got? More Rumble Rants. Pigdog 5150. The next three or four are all you. So if you don't mind, I'll read them in a row. You've put morning, morning. Maize harvest went well. Corn. Corn harvest went well. Oh, good. Oh, good. If your livelihood, I don't know if it does, but if your livelihood depends on that, great, great news. Brilliant. It went well. Good. Thanks for the positive vibes yesterday. No, you're welcome. Of course. Had one trailer wheel snap off and one flat tyre, so not awful. To clarify, I work for a big farm. My family have a small farm. Oh, right. Okay. Okay. So, it sounds like one trailer wheel snapping off and one flat tyre. It could have been worse. Okay. You then say, saw an interview with a Brit man who went to fight in Ukraine. He said how they would leave with several trucks of men and weapons stroke ammo, and half of the trucks of gear would peel off and not arrive. Only anecdotal evidence there from Pigdog 5150, but yeah. Something extremely odd. Something extremely unconventional with the way in which Ukraine have conducted that war. How is it that Zelensky's mum and dad are extremely rich now? How is that? Be naive of me to ask, wouldn't it? It's naive. Just get on board. Pigdog 5150 said, the Brit soldier guy said this was a regular occurrence. Lots of weapons sent to Ukraine have ended up in Africa and Middle East on black markets. We've just got to support Ukraine, have we? For as long as it takes. Even if it means we get struck by Russia. Not interested in that freak little goblins war. Isn't the Donbass ethnically Russian? Culturally Russian? Fallen Firebird says, I've said it before and I'll say it again. We are depressed and medicated because there is a profound, enervating malaise about our entire modern civilization. We're an upside-down anti-world. A profound statement. Can't disagree, don't disagree. Yeah, there's some sort of profound malaise going on, whether imposed from above or not, whether manufactured, whether it's sort of by design. But yeah, couldn't disagree with you all. Couldn't disagree with you, sir. Some sort of profound malaise afflicting us. Yeah. Need to go back to basics or something. Back to the old school way of doing things in various ways. That'd be my prescription. Okay, Pickdog again says, Rishi was easily the most embarrassing. I feel like that. Very embarrassed by the Truss episode. I mean, it's mildly embarrassing, but whatever. She didn't have time to get embarrassing, really, did she? Truly embarrassing. Starmer and Burnham are embarrassed, but I was embarrassed by Rishi the most, I would say. You say he was easily the most embarrassing. Having any foreigner or pagan or heathen as Prime Minister is a national and global disgrace. Yeah, that's sort of how I felt. Fallen Firebird says, Ree Lockerbie watched an aviation documentary once and it vividly described the perspective of a woman who thought the world was ending when the sky started raining metal meteors. Really stuck with me. Yeah, the accounts of some of the people in Lockerbie that evening. Yeah, terrifying. Terrifying, yeah. I've watched loads of documentaries about Lockerbie. Loads. Yeah, terrible, crazy event. Okay, and the last one here. last one, Brant, is from Pigdog again, who says, sadly, the invasion we're paying for also comes with barbaric actions by the invaders. As I get older and learn more about what has been allowed, how are we not at war with the powers that be? A reasonable question. A reasonable question. People are scared, aren't they? Most people, and this isn't a pop at people that are anonymous online. I think it's very important that it's possible to be anonymous online. But most people don't even put their real face and name on Twitter, or they make a YouTube video and it's just... Most people are not even prepared to do that. Professors that have got tenure, they can't be fired. They're not even prepared to stand up like someone like Jordan Peterson and say, no, this or that is wrong. Most people are just scared. They feel like they've got too much to lose. Most people are scared to do what Lotus Eaters do. Use your real name, your real face, and rant about it 5 days a week. That's rare, relatively rare, right? So to actually go to war with the state, yeah. Basically, no one would do that. That's the way it goes, isn't it? Like with these things, with revolutions throughout history, said it before, the analogy of an elastic band, stretch and stretch and stretch and stretch, maybe for years, years and years and years before it snaps. I mean, you look at, for example, the Russian Revolution. That was bubbling away and boiling away for generations and generations and generations. The whole question of serfdom, actual slavery, a type of indentured slavery. It nearly happened in 1905, but then another 12 years go by before it finally happens. It needed World War I. Throw that on top before finally the elastic band snapped. So it takes a lot for that elastic band to snap, a lot. Quite often it's sudden, not necessarily when you think it would be. Oh, if people didn't do anything after this or that happened, they never will. People didn't do anything after Manchester Arena. They didn't do anything after Southport. They never will. It's not how that works. It's an elastic band, and suddenly it snaps. And the final straw isn't necessarily, rarely is, sort of the most egregious thing to have happened. It'll just be the final straw that broke the camel's back. Look at lots of revolutions throughout history. It takes a lot for it to finally kick off. All right, let's have a look at our YouTube ones. There's about 20 odd. Let's read through them. Lydia Dragonborn says, "Hi, Bo. Hi. You all right? Thank you for reading the news so I don't have to. My pleasure. I wasn't sure about you at first, but you've grown on me." A cool face. A cool emoji with sunglasses on. Oh, thanks. I appreciate that. I really do. Cheers, love. Lydia Dragonborn. Welcome aboard. Part of the glorious band that chose a few, my band of brothers and sisters. I appreciate that. It's nice to hear. Okay. Andrew Hutt 1 says, "Thanks for making me smile every morning," and a big smiley emoji face. Again, my pleasure. Thank you. Sometimes it's really black peeling off. If I can bring any sort of entertainment to it, if I can bring any sort of the comedy stylings of Bodade, the Bodade experience. You got to keep it lighthearted. I remember when I first started and we had Callum here. You remember Callum? And I was like, I think it was the very first time I was ever on the afternoon podcast, and it was something really, really blackpilling. And before the show, I was like to Callum, I was like, I don't know how I can do this without it being crazily depressing and horrible, horrible. And he was like, just try and do it lighthearted though, because that's the way it's sort of got to be. Otherwise it would crush you. The audience don't necessarily want someone just dour and somber and sad and annoyed and depressing. They don't want that 100%. And he's right. He was right. Of course he was. Okay, I make you smile every morning. Brilliant. £20 as well. Andrew Hutt won. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Cheers. Really, really generous there. Really generous. Okay. James Lee Pevenhole says, our PM plays Heaven Knows I'm Miserable Now. I'm not sure. I don't think it was that. That's another Morrissey song, right? Is Heaven Knows I'm Miserable Now, is that the Smiths or is it just a Morrissey song? Should know that. Probably should know that. I don't know that off the top of my head, but I don't think that was the song he plays. But played, but that would have been apt, wouldn't it? Would have been much more apt. Okay, Double A Batteries 2001. That's what this person's called themselves. At Double A Batteries 2001 says, I'm sure Morrissey would absolutely loathe Burnham. Yeah, I bet he would. Yeah, Morrissey's a little bit based, isn't he? A little bit based. The real life Morrissey. I bet he'd hate Burnham, yeah. And the Labour Party in general for flooding us with rapists. That's what they've done. Well, and the Conservative Party. Okay, I don't want to speak for Morrissey. He doesn't take kindly to such things, does he? Have him on. Morrissey, if you ever see this, come on, Lotus Eaters, we'll talk to you. Luca's a massive fan. He's actually done content about Morrissey, isn't he, Luca, one time? He loves Morrissey, doesn't he? I think more the music of Morrissey, but, well, Morrissey's music is heavily involved by his worldview, isn't it, though? Can't really separate the two entirely, can you? Or not even close. Morrissey's all right in my book. Well, all right. Okay, Dr. Molotov says, hey, Bo, miss you, babe. I made an Android app for playing long-form audio files offline, like my Epochs downloads. Oh, an Epochs fan. Brilliant. Called Mun Player. It's free, no ads, no data collected if people want to try it. Oh, well, there you go. Dr. Molotov there. Mun app. M-U-N. Mun. Oh, sorry. Mun Player. Sorry. Mun Player. One word. M-U-N. Player. Mun Player. There you go. Just gave you a free plug. You're welcome. That's my pleasure. My pleasure, buddy. Hey, Bo. Miss you, babe. All right. Aristotle Luton. That's their name. Says, morning, Bo. Morning. Great Epochs on Henry VIII. Oh, thanks. It was a series, wasn't it? A little mini-series I did. Henry VIII. You like that one? Thank you. Latest figures state 275,000 Russians and 1.5 million Ukrainians dead, not including wounded. Crazy numbers. Yeah, if those numbers are right, yeah. 1.5 million Ukrainians dead or wounded. Casualties. 1.5 million. But look at that. It's all fun and games. A generation mauled. Generation of Ukrainian men mauled. What for? What for? For the Donbass region. That's already effectively Russian. Is it not? Don't they speak Russian there and consider themselves Russian? Do they not? Well, battlefield reality is under Russian control. It's very, very unlikely to be wrestled back for them. 1.5 million Ukrainian men and counting, dead or wounded. Right. Oh, that's not included wounded. 1.5 million dead. Not including wounded. Just outright dead. 1.5 million. Okay. Yeah, there'll be people in the chat and in the comments just insisting it goes on for as long as it takes. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? You've bought a lie. You've bought a grotesque, blood-stained lie. Get a clue. James Lee Pevenhall says, car racing on the record, Peugeot won the first race. Oh, sorry. Car racing on the road. Peugeot won the first race. I don't know exactly what you're referring to there. Sorry, I don't know exactly what you're referring to. On the road? I don't know what you mean. I have to Google that. Is that a new type of racing? Road racing? What do you... Rally? I don't know what you mean. LMP1? What are you talking about, sir? I'm interested to know. Be more specific. Okay. MQSSS says, watched yesterday Surviving in Victorian Times on Banijay History with Anne Widdecombe. She was a feisty one, RIP. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that Surviving Victorian Times thing. I saw a number of those. I think I saw at least a bit of the one with Anne Widdecombe in it as well. Yeah, she was feisty, yeah. I didn't agree with everything she said. But I did agree with a lot of what she said. More than most politicians, I agreed with what she said. What an unbelievable thing. The particulars of that murder as well. Off the charts, brutal. Ugh, poor Anne Widdecombe. What a great... You can't spend too long dwelling on the scene of that. It's so... I'm going to move on. I can't, honestly. Poor Anne Widdecombe. God. Okay. Pete, TQ61IN. That's supposed to be something else, but anyway, Pete. Pete says, do you concur, Bo, Sunak was most embarrassing? Yeah, that would be my pick. Yeah, it's one of the very few times when I don't agree with the winner in the poll, because Starmer won, didn't he? Yeah, it's one of the, I think maybe the second time ever, is it? Maybe the third time ever? My view is different from what you guys won in the poll. Yeah, I would have clicked Rishi Sunak on that. Yeah. Yeah, I would have done. Okay, Daniel D. King says, someone mentioned the Witten the other day. I can't find anything on the website. Where can we find more info? Cheers. Oh, I don't really know. I don't have anything to do with that particularly. Well, don't have anything to do with that. I mean, DM... was it Maven Politic? I think he used to organise it all, but now doesn't. If I'm sure he'd probably know anyway. Carl would know. Josh Firm would know. Big Harry Robinson would know. Who else? Iron Age Agriculturalist. Marcus, how you doing, buddy? Yeah, there's a few people that would know. I mean, maybe even email Lotus Eaters. They could point you in the right direction. But I, off the top of my head, can't tell you. Sorry, I'm not going. And don't really... pay much attention to it, but there you go. Maybe ask Josh Firm. I think he's the host, Big Josh Firm, the Firminator. Harry Robinson speaking. You follow them or they follow you on Twitter, you could at them and ask them. Or send us an email. I'm sure we'll be able to point you in the right direction. All right, the last three here. Carmichael Cookie Dough Foot Job. At Carmichael underscore Cookie Dough underscore Footjob says, on this day in 1835, is this going to be a, I'm feeling an Eamon Holmes set up here. Let me just read it. No, I don't think it is. Okay, good. I think I'm not sure, but I saw one little news story that said like Eamon Holmes is really like unwell. So I'm going to, not that I've encouraged all the Eamon Holmes jokes particularly, but yeah. Get well soon, Ames, in all seriousness. 100% for reals seriousness, super serial. Get well soon. Okay. Back to Carmichael Cookie Dough Foot Job says, on this day in 1835, newspapers announced that Batmen existed on the moon. They say all sorts of things, don't they? They used to say all sorts of things. That a comet were coming past and the cyanogen gas in the tail of a comet was going to poison the whole Earth. Or those man-made canals on Mars. Or whatever. Also, in 1958, instant ramen was born. Like ramen noodles. So what do you mean? Also, I had my teeth cleaned today. Oh, good. Excellent. Dental hygiene, very important. Okay, the second thing. The second one, also from Carmichael Cookie Dough Foot Job, says, "It's the Smiths, not Morrissey." Okay, so that Heaven Knows I'm Miserable Now. That is the Smiths, not just solo Morrissey. Okay, good. Good to know. Okay, and the last couple here, one more ticked in. So the last couple, the penultimate one for today is Ninja Noodle 0944 says, "Ceausescu is a big example of the people having enough." Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Romanian dictator Ceausescu. Yeah. When the normal people just rose up and they'd had enough. How much had they put up with over the decades of Soviet rule, communist rule? Took a lot. Funny, I thought populism was just a delusion. It's funny, I thought that nothing could ever be done without an elite. James Lee Pevenhole says, Paris Rouen, 22nd of July, 1894, first motor race. Oh, cool. In 1901, motor racing made to be on closed circuits in Pau, France. And then you just put the French, double exclamation mark. I did an Epochs one, sort of a bit of a one-off. I think it was like episode 50 or maybe 52 for like the one-year anniversary for Epochs. I decided to do something a little bit different, not sort of classic history. And I did the history of racing, history of Formula One, in fact. With Thomas. Do you remember Thomas? Because he's into racing. We actually did competitive karting as well. I like Thomas. I thought that was a great conversation. It's one of a few times people said, "What's your favourite?" or "What one did you enjoy most?" or whatever. I've cited that one a couple of times. I talked all about, well, we talked, the bulk of the conversation was about the history of Formula One. But we, for the first like half hour or so, maybe a bit more, I talked all about early racing. From the very beginnings of the very first time men ever tried to race horseless carriages. Yeah, love it. Interesting. To me. I know it's not everyone's cup of tea. A lot of people don't care about racing today, but it's one of my things I like. All right, that's the last one. Okay. Jack's pointing me to one more Rumble Rant that's come in. Or two more Rumble Rants that's come in. Two more Rumble Rants have come in. So I'll read them. Why not? From Global Church History. How are you, sir? Global Church History, with a rare second comment. You put, "Get me on to do St. Constantine stuff. I could be a guest. My stuff on it got reposted by a few big historians last year, as it was the anniversary of Nicaea. I even said it was the best that year." If it was the best that year. I've nearly finished it now. I would consider having you on. You do have to. Carl Benjamin does like people to have their real name and face, though. I've made one or two exceptions in the past, and even that was sort of an extreme exception. You'd have to show your real name and real face and physically come to Swindon. And I've nearly finished the Constantine stuff, but I wouldn't rule it out. You clearly know your stuff, so that's what I'd say to that. Okay, and the final one here from Pig Dog again says, "I miss Callum. I love his YouTube channel," which is at Britannica1, full stop, legend, says Pig Dog. Yeah, Callum's good. Callum's good. I like old Callum. He's a funny guy. Good bloke. All right, that is the show, though. That is the last one there. So it's now 23 minutes past 9 in the AM British summertime on Tuesday, the 25th of August in the year of Annual 2026. You've been the glorious band, the chosen few. My band of brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining me. Without you, it really isn't a thing. Try and make the best of the day ahead if you can. Carpe diem, you know, seize the day. It's the most valuable thing you'll ever have by orders of magnitude, your time. Try and make it count if you can. I won't get too preachy about it, but you know, days on this earth are finite. That's the dark reality of it. When you're young, it doesn't feel like that, does it? It feels like you've got endless days. You really haven't. It's probably later than you think. Try and make your time count if you can. All right then, until tomorrow morning. Take care.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.